Good morning. Our sermon this morning is the woman's role in the church. Our sermon this morning then is about women, especially about the role of women in the church. Now, before we begin, let us address the political correctness, the spiritual correctness types who imagine themselves and grow emotional, who immediately rear their indignant heads and automatically start shouting that even such a discussion about women ministers is somehow degrading to women. Yes, even before they hear what God has to say in His Word. Now, of course, men and women are equal. God made them equal. Nothing in God's Word says any differently. Nothing. And this sermon is certainly not saying anything different than that women are equal to men. But that isn't even the question which we are addressing today. We today are addressing the concept of women ministers as an ecclesiastical position, trying to redefine Scripture. For while women are created equal, God has given each sex different roles and specific tasks and so forth to perform in this life. He has given us to fulfill His will and to adhere to His grand master blueprint for the universe. Sadly, that quick to criticize attitude so rampant in this deranged culture is so prevalent in this time in which we live in this wicked and perverse generation. Clearly, the natural man's heart is desperately wicked, and it is impossible to know what depths there are. But this we know, that natural man has always hated God's light shining into their self-made darkness. They usually try to get rid of that searching light by loud shouting, bitter arguments, and indignant tumult. But we must remember that refusing to listen to God's word are not properties of true Christians, no, not at all, but of heathens and counterfeit Christians who are serving the Father of all lies. He who is cunningly disguised as an angel of light tells lies. King David knew that reality when he pleaded with God, "Know my heart and the secrets within." Yes, know that all such lies, arguments, and all such ignorance comes from the Father of all lies. And so we have to always consider the source and avoid it at all costs. For Satan's arguments always diminish truth. They hide reality. They poison men's lives. Yes, a poison tree has poison roots and produces poison fruit, for by its very nature it cannot produce good fruit. So then let us adhere to God's word today so that we know truth, truth personified, He who is altogether lovely and chief among 10,000, and that we might worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Yes, He is worthy. Our sermon this morning is concerning the role of women ecclesiastically within the church. Sadly, it's just another example that we have to deal with this, of how upside down our foundational scripture doctrines have been turned today and by establishment Christendom's counterfeit leaders. This sermon is the 24th in our 29 illustrations of how Christendom in this wicked and perverse generation has radically turned much of Scripture and our Reformation doctrines upside down today. Oh, how our church forefathers, our Reformation fathers, our Puritans fathers, if they could come miraculously alive today, would laugh us to scorn. Today's establishment Christendom, women ministers to scorn. That mocking laughter is especially true in this most fundamental issue of a woman's ecclesiastical role in the church, for which Christianity has a 6,000 years of universal rejection previous to this generation. We know that God is immutable, which means that he changes not. Certainly, what he has forbidden during the last 6,000 years, he still forbids. Man changes, God does not. If God changed or could change, he would cease to be God. So then we want to examine what has changed in this generation, who has changed this, what has happened, and what rewriting and redefining of the Bible, where it will end. How can the Bible be rewritten when God cannot change? Tragically, we only need to look at the bitter results of this generation and see Christendom's sad future if they follow a mutable God, a changeable God, who is really cunningly disguised as an angel of light, and one who changes with the opinions of man, so that they can get with the times. It's not hard to see or predict what will happen. The evidence is clearly displayed before us and all around us today within Christendom. As a result of such open church sin, chaos and disaster reigns today in Christendom. Yes, it is night in God's church, we may fear, for all of these changes of the women's role in the church was not done in a hidden corner, but done openly, boldly, relentlessly by obviously counterfeit Christian church leaders, for they have obviously openly defied Scripture and possess any one of the hundreds of different kinds of counterfeit Christ which abound today. Oh, then who can wonder why God has sent the plague of COVID-19 upon our perverse generation and brought all the people in all the countries of the world to their knees? Instead of rebelling against God's word, let us today carefully listen and examine honestly to what extent, to exactly what God has to say about the woman's role in the church. Yes, let us listen to what the Holy Spirit taught all of our godly forefathers in the church for 6,000 years and know why. Why God is very clear, even though natural man throughout history does not want to hear God's truth and clarity. For natural man rather enjoys lies and confusion. Oh, pray that we today may receive ears to hear today. Come, let us bow in the dust and hear God's word on the issue of a woman's ecclesiastical role in the church this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is from five different texts, and from the fact that God has written by his omission of this subject on virtually every page of the Bible. Let us begin with 1 Corinthians 14, verse 35. Let your women keep silent in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. And then to 1 Timothy 2 verse 8, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but that which becometh women toward godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And then 1 Timothy 2 verse 13, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and clarity and charity and holiness with sobriety. And then Ecclesiastes 7 verse 28, which my soul seeketh, but I found not one man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Thus far, the reading of God's holy and infallible word. As you can see, this topic is so important that God has written directly about it 5 different times in the Bible, and indirectly on every page of the Bible. For it is clear to anyone who has read the Bible that in 6,000 years, God never allowed a woman to be a minister or serve in an ecclesiastical role in his church. No, not once, until this counterfeit Christians changed God's law in this wicked and perverse generation. Oh, keep that in mind. Not once in 6,000 years. Christians also know that once something is written in the Bible, it is enough. But on this subject, as we said, God has spoken 5 times in Scripture. In the sermon this morning, our specific text is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34. Listen. Let your women keep silent in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. So our theme today is women in the ecclesiastical ministry. We're going to look at the specific role God intended in Scripture for women in the church. We will look at this subject in 3 main points. Our first point, that God's equality of personhood is vastly different from God's equality of offices. Our second point, that equality of sexes is vastly different than equality of physical being, of purpose, of role, of tasks, of missions, of will, and so forth. All of these are clearly evident throughout Scripture. Our third point, Scripture's reality concerning the role of God ecclesiastically assigned women in history. Now in the first point, God created men and women equal. We said that. In His creation, God's equality of personhood is clearly revealed. But equality of personhood is radically different from equality of office, what he has chosen for, what he has equipped for. Now, as we said, it is very clear that for 6,000 years of the earth's existence, the prohibition of women ministers or holding an office, being an office bearer in the church, was very well understood by every single official in all the churches in all the whole world. Women as ministers in a church simply was a concept uniformly rejected, by every Christian church for 6,000 years. That is something. So the grand question is, why then has sinful man invented a change in God's word today? Sadly, we know the answer. It can only be Satan's work. As we have said, equality of personhood does not mean equality of office, equality of roles, equality of position, equality of status. For man has made these clear distinctions between male and female far beyond even the ecclesiastical role we are discussing today. He made those differences and distinctions for his own wise reasons that, yes, are far, far beyond any foolish questioning of us sinful men. A subject which defies 6,000 years of the Holy Spirit's clear teaching on this concern and matter needs to be examined. Look at the context of these scattered biblical examples you see sprinkled as a consistent pattern. Now, as many do, to claim there is no specific command in the Bible against women serving officially, ecclesiastically, as ministers within the church, he is obviously a lie, an open lie. When, as we see in our scripture reading of this morning, God specifically commands 5 different times by 4 different authors that a woman is not permitted to preach or serve ecclesiastically in the church. Quite obviously, because God commands her, did you hear it, to be silent in the church. It need not surprise us that such a lie comes from the father of lies. God commanding women to be silent in the church obviously precludes any woman participating in the ministry. Obviously, silence don't work very well. Now, obviously, that is a clear command in Scripture by God, impossible for anyone to try to get around in any normal society and culture and generation but this one. But wicked, tragically wicked, counterfeit Christian leaders have spent this generation relentlessly promoting this scriptural lie, and tragically have made great strides in accomplishing this abuse of God's command, abuse of God's role for a woman. Now, to ignore or gloss over any such openly obvious and specific commands of God demonstrates one thing, real devilishness, from which all these lies must originate from. If it's in the Bible, we must believe it. Man has many contrary opinions, but they cannot ignore scriptural facts and hope to please God. Obviously, God's word is infallible and immutable, One command covers all of Scripture. Let us not be foolish. Oh, I once personally heard a doctor of the ministry say in disgust, this interpretation forbidding in the Bible of against women ministers is obviously wrong and biased. We need to get a group of us ministers together and work out a better interpretation of these verses of the Bible. Oh, imagine that. The sheer audacity shocked me that someone claiming to be a minister of God's word was perfectly willing to think that he could casually change God's word to an interpretation to suit his perceptional human lie. Oh, it is astounding, but it is a reality. Look around. We don't need to be astounded anymore. It's prevalent in so many establishment Christian churches. Oh, Lord, perish such a tidal wave of evil thoughts, which are obviously out of the mouth of hell, but tragically have been believed and have prevailed mightily within establishment counterfeit Christendom today in this wicked and perverse generation. Oh, just look around at the lowest state of Christendom today. It is night in the church. Oh, we fear it is near midnight. And all, yes, even the elect are sleeping even on this fundamental issue. Christendom rather needs to pray for the grace to get a deep submission to God's word, not invent new human lies to change God's word. For another example, many say that Sunday is not mentioned in the New Testament, so we don't have to obey that today or fear Sabbath breaking. What evil nonsense. Yes, Scripture is one seamless, holistic, infallible word with the primary author being the Holy Spirit. The 40 human authors he uses never once contradicted the Holy Spirit. Never once contradicted the author of the Bible. It's only man's inventions and imaginations that says this. And we can see that so clearly in this issue of women serving ecclesiastically, where God says five times in Scripture that a woman must be silent. Do you hear it? Be silent in the church. Obviously, that means a woman must be silent ecclesiastically, period. Now, in our second point, what Scripture says, obviously from creation to David, God had no female ecclesiastical officers in his church. In the 1,000 years of the first and the second temple, there were no women who ever contributed to any officiate or officiated within the temple worship. Yes, in fact, women were not even permitted in the most important parts of the temple, but only in the outer court. In the last 2,000 years to this day, since the two temples were destroyed in AD 70, within Christendom's millions of churches that have sprung up, there has never been a recognized female ecclesiastical officer. That is, until this generation broke through all of God's commandments and all of his well-established fences and boundaries for ecclesiastical worship. Do you hear that? There were none, no women ministers. The Reformation, which restored the orthodoxy of Christendom, outrightly rejected women ministers. The Puritan era forbade female ministers. They adhered to God's word. Yes, during all of history, 6,000 years since the church was established immediately after the fall, saw an unbroken male-dominated ecclesiastical dominion ordinated by God. That is, until the lies of this wicked and perverse generation attempted and succeeded so much to overturn Scripture, which was suddenly invented from the bowels of the women's lib movement, women's liberation organization, which was organized in 1919. Yes, the huge explosion of irrational ecclesiastical demands by women within society and within the church in this generation comes from this and illustrates Satan's starting up of rebellious dissatisfaction with their gender, with their role, as defined by God, by the world, instead of obeying God's written and designated role for women over the last 6,000 years. There was where the great division began. It illustrates Satan's false spirit, which is currently sweeping as a tidal wave over the whole Christian world and is driving a godless gender war, gender rebellion within this wicked and perverse generation of Christendom. Let us look more closely at church history and practice. Clearly, looking at biblical history, anyone can quickly see that this was God's express command, as we said, easily understood by all the Old Testament churches. For example, for 1,000 years, from 972 BC to 70 AD, in both the first and the second temples, we said already, not one female served in any capacity of worship service in the temple. Not one. Now, for the previous 350 years of the time of the judges, it was exactly the same. No women ecclesiastical officers, none, not a nil. The only woman mentioned in the Judges is Deborah, clearly made herself subservient, subjective ecclesiastically to Barak. Now, previous to that, the time of the Judges, for the 40 years that the children of Israel traveled through the wilderness, not one female served in the tabernacle of God. Not one. When Miriam at one time in rebellion attempted to usurp Moses' ecclesiastical role, what happened? God struck her down with leprosy and even placed her outside of the camp for 7 days of repentance. Going back further, previous to this, even during the 430 years the children of Israel dwelt in Egypt, we read of no women serving in the churches of the 12 sons of Jacob, none. No women serving in any ecclesiastical role. But to go back further, even from the creation to the flood, we can read no woman ever served in any ecclesiastical role. Absolutely none. Also, clearly now, jumping ahead for the 1,950 years in the New Testament era, no woman has ever served in any official capacity as a minister of church service, again, until this generation. The only exception was when a Miriam like Jezebel, who attempted to usurp God's command in the church of Thyatira in Revelation 2, verse 20. And look what happened. Jesus personally commanded the Apostle John to thrust this woman out of the church. And he said that he would kill her and her children if she did not repent. Yes, God is consistent. God is hyper, exceedingly jealous of his church, his body, his bride. And he stringently applies the process, the method, and the product of presenting and lifting up Jesus Christ, the gospel, in his church. It must be done his way, or no way. Thus, in summary, for the 5,950 years since creation, we say it again, God's command concerning the role of women in the church was consistent all around the world. To understand this, we must understand then the covenant role, the covenant head role of Adam in the covenant of works. Adam was created in God's image, and thus he reflected the similitude of Jehovah, the fatherhood representing all of heaven. Going higher and further back, obviously no one in heaven rejects God's structured heaven but Satan. And what depths man has fallen because of Satan's sin in heaven and on earth. Now clearly, Adam, the covenant head, represented all mankind. It was not Eve's assigned role. No, he was not even formed yet before God assigned that critically important role of covenant head to Adam, when he formed him out of the dust of the earth. Now sin entered. Now if only Eve had sinned, and she had not convinced Adam to sin, she alone would have died, and Adam would have not died. That's not true, but now if that had been true, all the others of humanity, of mankind, except Eve, would have still been saved by the virtue of Adam's righteousness within the covenant of works. Oh, it didn't happen, but so is how God made his covenant, made roles and differentiated between men and women. Additionally, looking at the role of the headship of men, God says clearly to Eve that this is not only true with her additional foundational sin of tempting Adam, but greater pain shall come upon women as long as the world exists. Clearly beside God, besides ecclesiastical headship, also commands marital headship, that the husband is the head of the wife in marriage. We see that in Genesis. Yes, woe, woe to those who rebel against God's orderliness of male headship, for it is God's biblical pattern for the ecclesiastical and for the marriage state, written throughout all of Scripture. Of course, males cannot abuse this divine privilege, but that's a different sermon. And God has provided many safeguards to prevent such abuse. Husbands must love their wives equally. But therefore Eve was not the covenant head designated by God, but she still blames God, Adam, and the serpent for her own sin. Adam was the covenant head. God made that distinction, which permeates throughout Scripture and history, which is being ignored today. Adam and Eve were not co-equal as covenant heads, which clearly is the real goal in today's counterfeit Christendom. Let me say it again, which is clearly the real goal in today's counterfeit Christendom, wanting women in the ecclesiastical role 50-50. That's just a plain, cold, hard fact, that the revisionism of the Bible wishes to erase. Yes, Eve is punished in childbearing because she led Adam into sin. Now, while Miriam did lead the women in a triumphant march at the Red Sea when Egypt were destroyed, she only led them in a spontaneous celebration, not an ecclesiastical, organized, or structured church effort, not at all. As we said, she never entered the tabernacle, never played an ecclesiastical role in it, not once. The one time she tried to challenge, we said already, and exceed God's ecclesiastical headship role, God struck her with leprosy and outside of the camp. Now, while Hannah, in the time of the judges, was given much wisdom for the tabernacle, she sent her son Samuel to help Eli. And then she went back home, subject to her husband. Esther, during the Second Temple era, saved the nation of Israel, but she subjected her life to Mordecai's ecclesiastical role. Naomi was instrumental in Ruth's life, but she deferred to Boaz as her ecclesiastical head. Deborah willingly submitted herself to Barak's ecclesiastical role. Abraham's wife, Sarah, doubted and lied to God. Isaac's wife, Rebekah, created great divisions in the church. Jacob's four wives were a great confusion to the church and a constant strife in his life. Mary praised God in Elizabeth's home and then went back to hers. making herself subject to Joseph's headship. Elizabeth praised God in her home, subjecting herself ecclesiastically to her high priest husband, serving in the temple. Now, it's important to note, the Bible does not say, and no one today is saying, that women shouldn't pray. Not in the least. In all of this sermon, no one is denying women the right to pray, or that they should pray in the church without ceasing to plead the blood, to take hold of the covenant, to do violence to the kingdom of God, to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints, to be constantly striving to be born again. Perish the very thought. Nothing in this sermon is saying that. That women, that women's prayer might be multiplied in the church a thousandfold. Obviously, that is what we are saying. We see that prayer in the church beginning already with Eve, immediately after the promise of the mediator in Genesis 3, verse 15. We see Eve is obviously praying for the birth of the promised Messiah, for the covenant of grace, Messiah. We can see this in that she believes her prayer was answered when Cain was born, for she said, "I have received a man from the Lord," thinking it was the Messiah. That is then the point here of women in the ministry. Certainly, when the minister is leading the congregation in public prayer, all the women attending are obviously praying also. That is not the point. Rather, this sermon is about the ecclesiastical role, ecclesiastical headship, ecclesiastical leadership within the church. The key distinctive words in this sermon are participate in prayer in and as part of an official church setting. A covenant role ordination is the key factor. That God made the covenant with Adam is beyond dispute. Further, for 6,000 years, God has designed an ecclesiastical covenant head leadership role for the male gender, not the female gender. In the next sermon, we will see the great privilege of what women have received, but it is distinct from men. The bottom line for all disputes with God is simply, He is God, we are not. Man's opinion is utterly irrelevant to God. Shall we, the lowly clay, respond to him, he who is the almighty potter? Shall dust correct God, command God differently? Oh, perish the thought. He has sworn in an oath with himself that as he lives, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, and every heart will acknowledge him who all the universe submissively obeys, that is, except for unregenerate man. We see that in Isaiah 45. Now, specifically wrong in the idea 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34, is directed at, and that it pertains only to this small group of disruptive women in the small Corinthian church in the year 45 AD, who were supposedly blatantly disturbing the Corinthian church, according to this generation, by asking disruptive questions or viscerally disputing over what had been preached. That concept is completely wrong, brought forth in this generation. No, there are no caveats, no exceptions, no consideration of individual persons in the Bible. Every single word pertains to and applies to every single person in the world. Across all 66 books of the Old and the New Testament, to cut and paste and then interpret Scripture differently and replace it piecemeal, even when it is directly against overwhelming scriptural and historical evidence, is a textbook case of the errors which permeate redacted criticism, higher criticism. And it is thus unscriptural. Unscriptural is serious. Serious disobedience. Five times the Holy Spirit gives specific instruction concerning the role ecclesiastical in the church, using four different human authors, obviously saying the very same thing under the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we can see it in Scripture so clearly. For those who foolishly still insist that some way, somehow, to get with the times, women should be given a role in the ministry of the church, we have the further example of the Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus. Think about it. After Jesus' death and resurrection, Mary was an esteemed being, probably the most esteemed woman that existed on the earth. But remember, Jesus had scolded her twice for her speaking up and trying to direct him and to play a role in the church falsely. Jesus had corrected her. Jesus had told her of her improper scriptural role within the church. Now, one could have imagined Mary of today's generation demanding a serious role in the new church at Christendom, at Jerusalem. For according to the human perspective, the Virgin Mary at the age of 48 would have and could have easily demanded that a woman such as her could have, should have, taken over the leadership of the Christian church. She was the mother of the Lord Jesus. But Mary knew very clearly what God had assigned her, what God had corrected her with in trying to play an ecclesiastical role in the church was wrong. What God had assigned her as a role as a woman, she adhered to. Think of another famous woman. Mary Magdalene had also been taught the same reality by God. And we see that these two women, famous women, women who could have taken over leadership of the church, humanly speaking, by the virtue of their esteeminess, refused to accept, refused to participate in an unscriptural ecclesiastical role in the church. All the evidence is overwhelming that most of these women-related events outlined in the Bible that are used today by today's generation are just spontaneous, unique, one at a time, one of a kind, special event type women activities designed by God to illustrate an important point. But they have nothing to do with the daily routine, the daily leadership, the ecclesiastical governing of the church by men, as designated by God throughout Scripture. Consider then all the days and all the churches over the history of the world, and then consider the few times that God in Scripture has given any woman even a remote mention in the church, points implicitly to God's ecclesiastical role for men. Just because a woman's names are mentioned a few times in the Bible is not a reason, obviously, to alter God's grand intent to try to make a general rule of ecclesiastical equality from these spontaneous exceptions is hyper-radically redefining the Bible and ignoring the clear intent of the Word of the Holy Spirit. It's not comparing apples to apples. It's a false moral equivalency, a false dichotomy. It is a willful distortion. It is a great error of this apostasy generation. As such, can only be coming from counterfeit Christendoms, following a cunningly disguised being as an angel of light. What else can it be? What horrors we see in the relentless path of this error in this generation. It is worn very, very deep. Just as an example, in the Christian Reformed Church, it approved women deacons in 1975. They made solemn promises, were made to the synod then, was that there would be no further expansion or no further consideration of any further extent of women involvement ecclesiastically in the church. Solemn promises. They said most certainly they would never, never consider women as ministers. Quick check forward 40 years later in 2018, a group of Christian Reformed female ministers reported that over 25% of the denomination was indeed female ministers, well on their way toward their goal of 50%. So it goes with solemn promises made by the being cunningly disguised as an angel of light, promises so easily broken, promises that start small but grow into something very large and consume the whole denomination. Oh, that pathway has been worn so deep by deceitful promises, deceitful church leaders, which is a promise they never kept, never intended to keep. Once we start on the pathway diverting from truth, it is virtually impossible to find your way back. What shall it be then to so outrageously disobey God's word on such a fundamental issue, so clearly written in Scripture with God's finger? Oh, how all of our church forefathers, Reformed fathers, Puritan fathers, if they could come back alive today, would laugh us to scorn and thunder condemnation upon us for this open apostasy of this generation. How God is laughing, and how those who fail to repent of this great wickedness shall meet a closed door in heaven. How evident that this is just another reason why God is hyper exceedingly angry at America today and the world today. And we can see it all around us in COVID-19. Oh, God sent that. The finger of God is upon our great sins of refusing to obey His word. Oh, let us repent today like the king of Nineveh repented immediately. Oh, who can tell? Perhaps, who can tell? Perhaps God will still have mercy and not destroy America. But now I have a word for all of you who agreed with me and still remain in that establishment Christian church. You say, no, we will never have female ministers in our church. Never, never, never. Today I have bad news for you. Very bad news. The Equality Act, which was approved by the Supreme Court this year, and unless God intervenes, will be approved by the Congress next year, guarantees that you will have a female minister, female officers in your establishment church. The reason is simple, because every church is a 501c3 organization subject to the government's civil authority, which guarantees that women will occupy 50% of the roles. We say it with weeping, in the establishment churches will have women as ministers in an ecclesiastical positions, or the government will make sure that you lose your property, your schools, your businesses through the Equality Act. Don't take my word for it. Check it out. It's the law of the land, and it's only a matter of time until it is implemented. Oh, let us flee then from that unrighteousness. Let's flee away from unscriptural positions. Let us repent today and worship God in the beauty of holiness. For those ones who are poor and needy and grieving over this generation's apostasy, oh, to you ready to perish, as Moses has lifted up the brazen serpent in the wilderness, that all who looked upon it were healed. So God has lifted up Jesus Christ in the Bible for such lost sinners. Oh, that we may receive the grace to look to Him today, to repent before His